If you've been thinking about doing business abroad, chances are you've also been thinking of risk. The risks are real and they can make or break your export venture. But while doing business abroad is inherently more risky than operating in Canada, the rewards can also be great. Today, we'll focus on China, a key market for Canadian entrepreneurs. I'm Michael Mancini, editor of Canada Export, the Government of Canada's magazine for entrepreneurs who want to trade, invest, and prosper in the global marketplace. Look for our magazine at international.gc.ca. In this podcast, we'll put risk in perspective. I'll speak to one Canadian executive whose company went into China and had one setback that forced them to take immediate and decisive action, hear what happened, and how they've continued to thrive in the Chinese market. I'll also speak to two experts who'll tell us what the risks are and how to minimize and manage them in China. But first, I have Gary Johnson on the line. He's Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Bailey Communications in Ajax, Ontario. Thanks for speaking with me today, Mr. Johnson.
Hello, Michael. Thank you very much for having me on the call.
Why did your company look to China?
We had decided we wanted to be there. We wanted to be there for the opportunity, also for the experience of competing in what was shaping up to be one of the first truly globally competitive marketplaces. The number of our competitors that were there, we saw so many setting up businesses and competing.
What were the challenges you faced in China?
At the time, Bailey was selling into 25 countries. We had a strong presence in Latin America, and we had begun selling into other countries in Asia like Thailand, Indonesia, and the Philippines. So the only challenge we initially perceived going into China was the presence of strong language and cultural barriers. We continued what we'd done in Latin America. We had worked with the Canadian government missions. We joined the one to China. We also hired a pre-sales engineer here in Canada who's originally from China, and he was able to help guide us in the market, help prepare in advance of the missions. There's quite a bit of homework you can do to make the most out of both the trips and the visibility that the mission provides.
What other challenges did you face?
The main thing in China is the feature set that their products can offer and the cost, the price points that they meet. So you're going into a market that represents tremendous potential on a volume basis, but local expertise that's superb, quality being a main issue, mind you. So for us, it attracts global competition. It makes it a very different selling proposition when price is the main factor, but they want the functionality, and when you get into our space of critical infrastructure, they want bulletproof reliability that we offer as well.
So was it worth it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. When we went into China, we were selling to 25 countries. Bailey equipment is now installed in telecom networks in over 67. And China is key to us today, and it was key in our experience in expanding globally. It really helped us and is a constant reminder in the need to be properly prepared and to do our due diligence going into these markets.
Now, why the need for due diligence? Tell us about your early experiences in that market.
We received a module back for repair. We don't often get them back, and when we got this one back, took a very close look at it, and it just blew us away. It was identical in every respect from a look and feel. It had the same brand, same colors. It was complete with our quality manager's signature. All the stamps were on it. But when we took a closer look, we were able to identify at least 17 differences, and the quality of the materials that went into it, everything else was quite different once you got right down into what it was.
What was your initial reaction? How did you respond to this?
We were shocked. We didn't think it could happen to us. We were already in 25 countries. It never happened before. And really, we just wanted to know two things. Who was doing it, and how do we make them stop?
So how did you solve the problem?
Our product is comprised of a chassis and a number of modules, and the modules are selected based on the application. So it seemed to us that it would be easy to copy the chassis and maybe some of the core modules, but to copy all 15 or 18 versions of the modules we have might not be that attractive to them. So one of the ways we felt we could address the issue was to not just respond when they only wanted select modules. We were very conscious that a chassis went with everything and felt in that way that we were minimizing the amount of copied product that was being inserted. In the end, we adapted our selling practices to minimize the situation. We weren't sure they could copy every module we had, so we were very conscious of requests for us to quote or orders for just individual modules, not complete solutions. That was probably the main thing. We also contacted our partners, our customers, just to make sure that they understood that this had happened. And because our product was being bought for its quality, they recognized that buying copies wouldn't give them what they were looking for.
Now, what do you do to prepare for a new market today?
When we're planning to go into a country, we contact the telecom desk at the Trade Commission, we work with EDC, and we get their feedback on possible customers, possible partners. We also work hard to get to know our end-user customers so that we have a link to what's really going on in the market.
Well, obviously you've developed a winning strategy in China. Now 8% of your sales are made in China. What did you learn from this experience, or setback, rather?
In the research we did subsequent to finding out that our product was copied, I found a report that showed that China wasn't number one of the Asian countries that copy. And as we got into counterfeit issues, you know, it's not unique to Asia by any stretch. I mean, it's in Canada, it's in the U.S., it's in Latin, it's everywhere. The extent to which it was there was quite something. But the fact that China wasn't the number one of the IP theft countries, as rated by the article I read, was quite interesting as well. We thought we were too small and too niche to be copied. I think China is probably overstated as a market where this could possibly happen. I think it can happen anywhere you go, and that's where the due diligence is key. And there's been no evidence of copied product outside of China, and in fact, it was only that one instance we received that one back. I think they seem to have been able to control what they were doing.
Gary, thanks for being with us.
And Michael, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
I was speaking with Gary Johnson, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Bailey Communications. He was in Ajax, Ontario. With me on the line now is Pierre Pion, Senior Trade Commissioner at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. Thanks for joining me, Pierre.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, there are some risks involved in doing business in China. Why should Canadian companies still be interested in that market?
Well, China is a very attractive market because of the sheer size of this country and the emergence of the middle class and the emergence of China as the science and technology force as well. Indicators are showing that, and as a major exporter and investors abroad. So on all fronts, China is becoming a very substantial player in the world economy. So in that context, a lot of clients are interested in this market, but you have to be mindful that it's not a monolithic market. It's actually a collection. We can see it as a collection of many, many different markets. They are differing provincial regulations, sometimes conflicting provincial regulations as well versus the central regulations. The regulatory framework is lacking in some sectors.
You've touched on some of the challenges of investing in China. What are some of the other risks?
This is a very competitive market. There are significant business cultural differences. The companies have to be well prepared to tackle the Chinese market. And there are certainly difficulties in getting timely and actionable market intelligence. There is the risk of course, non-performance of contracts, non-payment, and delays in payment from your customers in the Chinese market. Infringement of intellectual property rights, I think it's a very present risk and something that many of our clients are concerned and have heard about in Canada. The reliability of your local partners, I think it could be an issue. You have to make sure that you do an extensive due diligence on your partners. There are human resources risks as well, to be mindful. Competition is very strong for the staff with managerial skills, with experience, and there's a dearth, really, as the level of investment in the Chinese market is growing very fast. There's a dearth of skilled labor, and especially in coastal provinces, and skilled managers as well. So staff retention and recruitment and retention is the risk as well. And then also another point that I wanted to flag, it's the logistics cost. It's still underdeveloped in the Chinese market, and the logistics cost to move goods are usually higher in China than in developed markets.
What are some risks Chinese entrepreneurs might perceive in Canadian firms?
Many of our clients are small and medium-sized enterprises. From a Chinese company perspective, when they have a vast range of choice, they want to know how reliable is the Canadian supplier. And sometimes that's where the embassy comes into play here, and we play more of a role to give confidence to the Chinese customers or clients. The company that has proposed to supply a service or a good to the Chinese customer is indeed a Canadian firm that we've dealt with in the past, and they're well established. So that's certainly a perceived risk by Chinese companies.
It was a pleasure speaking with you, Pierre.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I was speaking with Pierre Pion, Senior Trade Commissioner at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. Let's go now to Export Development Canada. EDC is a bank and insurance company under one roof. It is Canada's export credit agency, offering financing, insurance, and risk management solutions to help Canadian exporters and investors expand their international business. Joining me now is Robert Forbes, Vice President of International Business Development at EDC. Thanks for speaking with me today, Robert.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
We've all heard of the potential of China's billion-plus market. What should Canadian companies do to prepare themselves financially to do business in China?
I think it's pretty important in an environment where companies are being created overnight, that there's a lot of very fast-paced decisions being taken, that companies know who they're dealing with and they get the peace of mind to manage the credit risk associated with those transactions. So taking the time to get to know your buyers that you're selling to, it's the old adage is that you need to know who you're selling to, is a very important part of doing business in China, and it takes time and effort. And then we see a lot of small and medium-sized businesses doing business in China, and the issue of working capital formation, just keeping enough cash flow going to meet demands of production is a big issue in dealing with China. And China is a market that takes commitment, it takes capital to do business there. And, you know, if you have lots of great sales, but you can't form the working capital you need to complete the sales, then you're going to be in trouble. So the world over, that's a challenge for exporters looking to go to new markets, is just to keep their working capital levels at a sufficient level to do the business.
You're stressing the need for access to working capital. Why is that specifically a challenge in China?
I think the pace at which companies try to ramp up production is part of the cause, the speed at which business is being done, and the fact that you don't have the same relationships. You need a different set of financial relationships to operate within the market, and you're not going to have the benefit, most likely, of a Western bank to deal with when you're dealing within China. So that's probably what's unique about China, is that there's not a lot of international bank presence, Canadian bank presence to really draw on. You're going to probably be dealing with a Chinese financial institution. And that's a new kettle of fish for a lot of Canadian companies.
What are the three key actions Canadian companies should take to prepare for these risks?
First and foremost, in China, it is a market you need to take the time to understand. You need to do some due diligence. You need to check and check and then check again to know your partners before signing a contract. You really need to take advantage of whatever services are on the ground, for example, the Canadian Trade Commissioner service, to get to know the market and what you're getting yourself into in advance. So preparation and understanding the market is first. Secondly, take the steps to mitigate your financial risk, and working with your commercial bank in Canada and with Export Development Canada, in particular our insurance program, you can do a lot to manage and mitigate the risks of ramping up your sales in China. And I think that's pretty important, because if you have a bad credit experience, having the insurance already in place to fall back on, I think, can help you live to fight another day. And being patient and being flexible, there's no such thing as a transaction that's risk-free, but having a strategy that takes a medium or long-term perspective is pretty important in China as well. So yes, you have to respond to the immediate opportunities as they come up, and you need to be quick to do that. But you probably need to have a longer-term strategy that's sustainable, and that does have some contingencies in it to deal with problems as they come up.
Thanks for speaking with me, Robert.
Thank you, Michael.
I've been speaking with Robert Forbes, Vice President of International Business Development at Export Development Canada. Well, that's all for this podcast edition of Canada Export. If you found this show interesting and you're currently preparing to do business abroad, or if you are already, the Canadian Trade Commissioner Service is there for you. As Canada's most comprehensive network of international trade professionals, the Trade Commissioner Service offers expert advice, problem-solving skills, and a global network of contacts. So check us out online at international.gc.ca to learn more about the benefits of the Canadian Trade Commissioner Service. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe to Canada Export, our free twice-monthly magazine. You can also download our other podcasts at itunes.com with the search word Canada Export. We'd like to hear what you think of our podcasts, so write a review on iTunes or drop us a line at canad.export@international.gc.ca. Your feedback is appreciated. I'm Michael Mancini, signing off for now.
This is a podcast from the Government of Canada.